Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
With that, we bring in the outstanding Neil Riddell. My friend, welcome back. It is always great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Chuck Wepner spoke in Altoona, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago at the annual Rec Commission dinner, and I had the privilege of introducing him and referenced that fight in Richfield Coliseum, and everyone was all anxious to hear from him. I mean, you talk about being part of the golden era of heavyweight boxing,
yeah.
Even though he didn't win a lot of those matches. I mean, the guys that he was fighting, Ali and Frazier and Foreman and mm-hmm. Ken Norton, Jimmy Ellis. I mean, we all wanted to hear about him, and he got up and he says, yeah, you guys have kind of heard my story. He says, if anybody wants to talk afterwards, I'll sign an autograph. He really didn't want to speak.
Well, in the world of exchanging leather, Chuck caught more than he gave out. So maybe that's one of the reasons maybe he didn't want to talk about it too much. I mean, when your nickname's the Bayonne Bleeder, that's not good. He's a big man, though.
He did tell a story about his wife made the trip out there, and there was some exchange where, he said, hey, you're sleeping with, you realize you're sleeping with one of the great boxing the boxers of all time. He says, if I want to be the great boxer of all time, I'd get down the hall where Ali was.
Oh, my goodness. Those great stories. This is obviously interesting times for Penn State. Sandy Barber's announcement that she will exit this summer in the job of athletic director. What did you think of the announcement and the timing of it?
Well, I think it makes sense. A new president coming in. Sandy was under contract for another year. But a lot of these high-profile positions don't get to that last year if there's a question of succession and whatnot. So, I accepted that as reasonable timing, understood it at age 62. I think she's been very stable at Penn State and has been, good. I've enjoyed working with her. And, when you look at the body of work, kind of judge ADs on their higher profile hirings, and she hasn't had to make too many, considering, Russ Rose was in place and, James Franklin was already there and Cale Sanderson. So it looks like she did well with Shrewsbury and whatnot. But I thought she lent stability at a time when Penn State needed it.
All right. So now moving forward, James Franklin talked in his press conference about what a critical hire this is. What are some of the challenges that a new athletic director will face in the current environment we're in intercollegiate athletics?
It's a tough place to be an administrator. I don't mean at Penn State. I think it's just in college sports in general. The transfer portal, I think, is really wrecking the model of college sports. The NIL challenges, and I see Penn State is starting to gather more momentum than maybe it has had there to try to keep up. It's funny, Joe used to always talk about keeping up with the Joneses, and we thought they were the Joneses, but I'm not sure anymore. I mean, you do have to keep up. Particularly with the SEC. So I think it's a tough time to be an administrator, to be a coach. I mean, you have to recruit your roster almost every day. So I wish the NCAA or the powers that be in college sports, the various committees, could get their arms around what's going on now. I don't know if you feel the same way, Steve. You're even closer to it than I am, but I think it's discouraging that the minute a kid hits his head on the wall, You know, his first answer is, well, I need to transfer. There are reasons to transfer.
Sure.
But I don't know the widespread exodus and threats to leave. They're always the answer.
And I say this with all due respect, Neil, to, you know, a guy like Charlie Moore, who's a very good player, or a guy like Teddy Allen, who obviously is a very good player. But Teddy Allen's on his fifth school.
Right.
Charlie Moore's on his fourth school. I mean, is that what I want in college sports?
Right. Well, how about Brockington?
Well, Brockington's on his third. Brockington's,
right.
Yeah, he's on his third.
So he goes from St. Bonaventure to Penn State to Iowa State. And, I mean, you know, obviously he's a good player and he's playing well for them and he's having a nice experience. I guess it's toward the end of his career. I don't know. Does he have any more eligibility left?
With the COVID year, I don't know who has eligibility left, Neil.
Yeah, so maybe he can go to a four school.
Yeah.
But, you know, but he goes to a 2-17 team and a difference that he could have made here and a legacy. Look at the legacy that Herrera left. You just wonder these kids who's advising them and what the college experience will mean to them.
And there's another element too here that needs to be, I think, at least brought into the conversation. The ratings for the NCAA tournament currently are up 12%. The ratings for the women's basketball tournament, by the way, to its credit, up 15%. Okay. And that, to me, that is not coincidence that you got fans in the stands. And I think that, you know, all this movement all over the place, I think, gets the fans off balance. And believe it or not, you need them more than ever. At least that's my opinion.
Yeah, I think that is encouraging, you know, when, I mean, these last couple years and, you know, there was Penn State that was really in a position to not only make the tournament in 20, but yeah, make a run in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was glad to see Chambers, you know, get another opportunity. I know he, you know, I know he didn't handle things perfectly the whole way, but I think he, in a body of work, he did a lot of good things. Yeah, you know, to have to go through 2 years of without fans and, you know, just what we've all kind of lived through, you know, I mean, I look forward to, a fresh start, hopefully, this fall.
All right, so let's get to a fresh start in the spring. When you look at Penn State football, what are a couple of, on your list of items, what goes 1, 2, 3 for you that they need to be on the path of taking care of this spring?
Well, number one, Steve, they can't have Prabula and Vayu with the same number. You just can't. I mean, that's my number one priority.
Yeah.
You can't have, and even if Prabula ends up redshirting, I don't know. But you got to have some decisions where these uniforms are taken.
Yeah.
I looked at their roster, and so that's going to be taken care of.
Okay.
I mean, I think they, you know, James hit it. They got to be able to run the ball.
Yeah.
They got to be able to get back to being who we think they are as a Big Ten team that can get some tough first downs in the clutch to put games away when they have leads, which has been an Achilles heel, body of work, trend under James. You know, I was just discouraged last year against Michigan. You know, when you're going to trick plays, when you have a chance to get your crowd in the game and go up 10-0 against Michigan and really put a statement, you know, you're throwing the ball around with your kicker. I just didn't like that, and I think that was an indication that they did not have enough confidence in their offensive line and their running game to make the tough yards when they had to. So I think that's number one they really have to address. And then I think leadership. I think Dodson was such a terrific leader, and Clifford is too, but Clifford didn't necessarily he may have guys nipping at his heels. He has to play well. You know, I think leadership on both sides of the ball will be a priority. And Stout was a real weapon. You know, he's another guy that I think you really have to hopefully, you know, they'll have an answer there, you know, but I don't know. I think the whole place-kicking situation, punting, is a question.
Well, in fact, what's interesting about the kicking situation is because of what Stout did last year, that's three positions. I mean, that's actually three. You have to come up with three answers there. Now, one may be the same guy for two of them, but not all three. So, I mean, that's going to be interesting. The ability to run the ball. I even come back to it, you know, people talk about short yardage and so forth. But even something as simple as helping a quarterback in the fourth quarter, if you've got the threat of running the ball, you can run a play action fake and everybody has to respect it. And that's something that in the fourth quarter, you know, you questioned last year whether if they ran a play action fake, a defense would respect it.
Yeah. And this will be a big year, you know, for Mike Yurcich, you know, and there's been, you know, a lot of change you know, on the staff, and that'll be another layer of the whole communication. I mean, you know, one thing is, you know, James is developing a nice tree of guys. I'm real happy for Brent Pry.
Yes.
Thanks to see what he does at Virginia Tech. He certainly paid his dues. But, you know, as far as the extension of the leadership from James, you know, to a roster that is going to need a lot of inexperience.
Yeah, and that, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. You know, the influx of freshmen, you have, nine of them there, at least early entries. I mean, I see Dan Connor now every day.
Right.
But I think if I remember Dan may have been the first early entry Penn State had here, if I recall correctly. And we're all like, ooh, early entry guy. Well, now it's like it's incredibly commonplace, and you're almost disappointed when one isn't an early entry. It's like, oh, darn, too bad they're not here yet. But that's another element that has changed the game, the learning curve. And what can you that mean just for the learning curve of the quarterbacks that you referenced? Regardless of their number.
Yeah. Well, I think the Big Ten change in the schedule, you know, may affect that as far as the quarterback play. They really needed Clifford with the other schedule was brutal. The first half of the season, it was probably the toughest six or seven games that they've ever had. Or at least back into the early 80s, Steve, you know, before when they were playing Alabama, Notre Dame. But even that was spread out.
Right.
so I think the fact that that became adjusted may leave some more room for growth. They'll have to, I guess, pick one of these freshmen of who's going to, you know, get more reps or who's going to be comfortable you know, with maybe running the scout team or being a redshirt. And I think, you know, Bayou was impressive when he mm-hmm. had a chance
yes.
Last year as well. So I think, you know, that's going to be, you know, a real storyline. Of course, we you know, expect Clifford to start. And hopefully he'll play better than he has at times, you know, in the last couple of years. And that's where a running game, you know, geez, the way Journey Brown ran the ball in 19 and the way they blocked for him, too. I mean, I think that they probably are getting out those tapes and figuring out how they have to get back to that because Clifford played pretty well when he had that kind of running game.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Have a great day.